Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Western New York race fans, it's time to crank it up.
Start your engines!
For the next hour, the airwaves belong to you. Sit down, strap in, and let's head to WGR's Fast Track.
All right, take a nice big deep breath, buddy.
With your host.
Let's go out there and have a good day, all right, bud?
Dave Buchanan.
Good morning, race fans. We are back. Welcome to the 12th season premiere of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. Thanks for tuning in. It's great to be back here for the 2018 racing season on WGR Sports Radio 550. As I said, our 12th season on the air. Man, I'm getting old. I'm 35. I'm just it's amazing that we're this show's still on the air and they allow me to do this. But good morning. It is great to be back, and we'll be back here in our familiar time slot of 11 a.m. each and every Sunday morning from now until Labor Day weekend when the Bills get started again. But we'll be talking racing with you every Sunday morning. Thanks to our new lead-in show, Brayton and Joe D here leading us in now on Sunday morning. So I enjoy that, having a nice local show to lead us in. Those two guys do a great job. So they'll be with us every Sunday morning. Listen to them from 9 to 11, and then we'll join you at 11 each and every Sunday to talk racing. For those of you new to the program but maybe never listened before, my name is Dave Buchanan. I've been a part of the WGR staff now since 2004. Don't do as much as I used to do, but still a part of the staff here, and been doing this show since 2007. I also am involved in the local motorsports scene as an announcer and a media relations person for the Lancaster Speedway, and also working with the Ransomville Speedway and the Race of Champions Modified Series. So I've been around local racing all my life. I've been a NASCAR fan all my life. And with my involvement here at WGR, I was able to turn that into this program that we've been doing on Sunday mornings now since 2007. Our major topics, we love talking about NASCAR, of course. That's probably the biggest topic we talk about on this program. But we try and cover all forms of motorsports, IndyCar, NHRA, you know, drag racing, Formula One when it comes up. And, of course, we love to cover local racing as well, too. If you're not aware, Western New York and Southern Ontario has a ton of great local racing venues, tons of great drivers in this area. And we talk about that a lot, too, on this program. Obviously, we do it more once the local season starts up. It's obviously not much racing weather outside here this weekend. Once again, what a terrible winter it's been. But as we get closer to late April, early May, that's when the local talk becomes a little more prevalent on this program. But our main focus a lot on this program is NASCAR. So if you're a NASCAR fan, this is perfect for you. If you're a racing fan in general, though, please don't be afraid to tune in and join in the conversation. If you want to talk about anything going on in motorsports, please, you know, give us a call, tweet us, Facebook message us, whatever you want to do. And you can call us at 803-0550, 1-888-552-550. Those are the phone numbers for you to jump in to talk about anything going on in the world of motorsports. We are on Twitter at FastTrack550. You can give us a follow, send us some tweets. We'll follow those along with the program. Also, if you're on Facebook too, facebook.com/WGR Fast Track is our official show Facebook page. We are one like away from 700 likes. I know that's not a lot compared to other Facebook pages out there, but we are one shy of 700, so hopefully you'll be our 700th like on our Fast Track Facebook page. Coming up on the season premiere of Fast Track, things are wide open here in this open segment. Lots of time to get your phone calls in, but coming up just after the bottom of the hour, we're going to talk to a guy that gets more airtime than I do on Sundays on this station because he is the color analyst for the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. He was one of the secondary anchors of the great teams of the early 1990s. And he is also the director of operations for JTG Doherty Racing. Mark Kelso is going to join us to talk some racing because he is involved with the JTG Doherty Racing team that fields cars in the Cup Series for AJ Allmendinger and Chris Buescher. So we'll talk to Mark. We'll get the story of how he got to be involved in NASCAR in case you're not familiar with how he landed his gig with JTG Doherty. We'll talk to him about that. Talk to the team's preparations. They get ready to start the new year with, of course, they are making the switch over from the Chevrolet SS to the Chevrolet Camaro this year. So they got to build a bunch of cars during the offseason. So we'll talk to Mark about that. And I'm sure we'll toss in a football question or two because, you know, it's Mark Kelso. So you got to ask him at least one football question, right? So Mark's going to join us at the bottom of the hour. Mark was kind of the one I always have like a list of people I'd love to get on the show that I've never had before, and he was always high in my list last year, and I just never got around to getting him on the show. So I thought we'd kick off this year with the one I didn't get to last year, and so Mark Kelso will join us at the bottom of the hour. But again, this first segment is wide open. If you want to get a phone call in, now would be the best time, 803-0551, 888-552-550. When we last left you, last September, the NASCAR Cup Series season was coming, the regular season was coming down to the wire, and it, of course, was the year of Martin Truex dominating the sport, and he had really just dominated the regular season, winning a bunch of races, and of course, more importantly, winning a lot of those stages and getting those playoff points is with that new stage format that started last year in the Cup Series. And he and his co-chief, Cole Pern, from Canada, of course, up in Ontario, they took advantage of that system, maybe not by design, but whatever they did, and also just the strength of their Toyota Camrys there for Furniture Row Racing, they racked up a lot of points and had the regular season championship sewn up well in advance. And they went into the playoffs, and they pretty much did the same thing, and that was win races and run up front, and that put them right into the championship four at Homestead. And he won his first ever NASCAR Cup Series championship last year, and the first one ever for Furniture Row Racing, which, of course, is located out in Denver, Colorado, and that team's first championship. So last year was the year of Martin Truex, but we had a lot of other great storylines in the chase, most notably the battle between the rivalry that developed between Denny Hamlin and Chase Elliott after those two tangled in Martinsville when Hamlin took Chase Elliott out of the lead. And then Chase kind of returned the favor at Phoenix and roughed up Denny as those two were racing for the lead at Phoenix. And that took Denny Hamlin out of making the championship for Homestead. That was a fun story at the end of the year. And just a great season. You had Kyle Larson's great year as well, too, but he came up short as that team ran into problems in the later rounds of the playoffs, and he was not able to advance to the Final Four in Homestead, even though he might have been the second-best driver last season on a whole with on-track performance. He did not get the performance he needed in the playoffs. I've already made that mistake once. In the playoffs to make the Final Four, so it wound up being, of course, Keselowski, Harvick and Truex and one other driver going for the championship last year, and Kyle Busch, that was the fourth driver, and of course Truex holding off Kyle Busch for the championship. Since then, the sport itself, not a lot of changes into the format of the sport. This is the first year in a while we haven't had major format changes. It's there's been some schedule changes, but the stage format's back this year with no really tweaks to it at all. But this season in NASCAR, this is a new chapter, maybe a dawning of a new era, or maybe we're in year two of this new era. But this isn't your father's NASCAR, and heck, this isn't even my NASCAR anymore because of this dramatic shift in a younger generation of drivers arriving in the sport. And it's been going on now for a couple of seasons, and you're really gonna feel the effects of it this season. I mean, look at the names that have left the sport now in the last 2-3 years. Jeff Gordon's retired. Tony Stewart. Dale Earnhardt Jr., of course, wrapped up his last season. Carl Edwards, of course, left abruptly last season. Matt Kenseth doesn't have a ride this season. Never retired, but with the changing dynamics in the sport, the changing business model in the sport, the older drivers that have big money contracts are a thing of the past, and now teams looking to tighten up their budgets, scrambling to find sponsorships, can't afford maybe to pay these high money drivers. So Matt Kenseth without a ride this year, and Danica Patrick, who will run the Daytona 500, she will no longer be in NASCAR. So a vacuum of star power in the sport, drivers with name recognition leaving the sport in the last couple of seasons, and we've got now this young crop of drivers, and it goes back now the last 2-3 seasons with the arrivals of drivers like Kyle Larson, Chase Elliott, the Austin and Ty Dillon, Ryan Blaney, who had a breakout year last year for the Wood Brothers, of course, and making the postseason last year. Eric Jones, who got his Cup Series debut last year driving for Furniture Row Racing, but now he moves over to the parent company, Joe Gibbs Racing. He takes the seat, you know, vacated by Matt Kenseth. And Bubba Wallace driving this year for the King, Richard Petty. Eric Almirola jumping over to Stewart Haas Racing. So this influx of young talent. Also, of course, Alex Bowman and William Byron over at Hendrick Motorsports. Alex Bowman jumping into the 88 car this year, filling in for Dale Earnhardt Jr., who driver that hasn't had a regular ride in the Cup Series, but did yeoman's work filling in for Dale Jr. 2 years ago when he was out with that concussion. And William Byron, who is a young man that has burst on the scene, taking a different route to get into the higher levels of NASCAR, cutting his teeth, playing video games, playing iRacing, which is a very simulator type racing game. He used that to hone his skills before getting behind the wheel of Legends cars, and he has quickly moved up the ladder in NASCAR from the Truck Series to the Xfinity Series, and now he will be driving the 24 car this year. Don't forget Chase Elliott, who had taken over the 24 car for Jeff Gordon the last 2 years. They have made a number switch over there at Hendrick Motorsports. Same team, but he'll drive the number 9 car, of course, in honor of his father, Bill Elliott, who made that number, made himself famous driving that number in the 1980s, and then driving that car for Harry Melling, and then he brought back the number 9 with Ray Evernham in the early 2000s. Chase is going to run the 9 car this year for Hendrick Motorsports, but still the same team. And so the 5 team of last year, which was with Casey Kane, and the number 5 has been with Hendrick Motorsports back to their beginning in the 1980s, that's going to become the 24 team this year. So William Byron is going to pick up the torch of Jeff Gordon's legacy, and he'll be in the 24 car this year. And it'll be interesting to see how Byron performs, if he can jump right in and be a player like he has been. He quickly challenged for a championship in the Truck Series, going for the Xfinity Series championship last year as well, too. And we'll see if he'll have just an impact early in his NASCAR career, as Byron coming off that Xfinity Series championship last year. We'll see if he can have an impact as well in 2017. But this young group of drivers that is grabbing a lot of attention this offseason, and NASCAR putting a lot of marketing and advertising behind this young group of drivers too as well. One of the things that NASCAR has said, some of the folks in NASCAR said, is they maybe regret 10 or 12 years ago or so, that when the likes of Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski and Joey Logano and this group of not really middle-aged drivers, but drivers in their late 20s, early 30s, who are still in this sport, they're going to be stars in this sport, and they're still going to compete for 10 or, they probably maybe have 10, 15 more years left in their career, but they're the established talent now. But NASCAR kind of regrets not doing enough marketing of those guys when they were coming into the sport, and they did more marketing on just the on-track product and just the thrill of racing. But maybe they missed out on marketing those guys to a group of fans who were starting to lose some of their favorite drivers in the early 2000s, with the unfortunate passing of Dale Earnhardt, retirements of guys like Rusty Wallace and Mark Martin and Terry Labonte and Bobby Labonte, or those drivers, Bill Elliott, or at least those drivers easing into part-time roles before eventually transitioning out of the sport. Maybe they dropped the ball in getting fans of those drivers to find new favorite drivers, in like Kyle or Joey or Brad or that group that maybe made their debut in the mid 2000s. They maybe dropped the ball and not marketing them better. So that's why NASCAR is paying a lot of attention to this young group of drivers, so that fans of Dale Earnhardt Jr., Jeff Gordon, Carl Edwards, Tony Stewart, they can pick up and find new favorite drivers to keep them interested in the sport. Because that's the challenge with a sport like NASCAR. And you see it too, like in golf or tennis, that, an individual sport, it's not like a home football or hockey where you have a home team or a favorite team, and you're always a fan of that team pretty much no matter who plays for them. In an individual sport like this, of course, you have to, attach yourself to that one driver. And when they retire or no longer involved in the sport, do you stay invested? And that's what NASCAR is trying to do right now with this group of young drivers, and trying to get them to latch onto these guys. And that's caused a little bit of consternation out of the veteran drivers, most notably Kyle Busch, who in the NASCAR media tour back in the month of January, a month ago, kind of spoke up and said that, how come all these guys, these young guys that haven't proven a whole lot in the sport, are getting all this attention, and they're not marketing enough to a former champion like Kyle Busch or Kevin Harvick or your reigning champion, Martin Truex Jr. They're all the attention is being given to these rookies that haven't done a lot in this sport. They've won, maybe won a few races, or they've won titles in the Xfinity or Truck Series like William Byron or Austin Dillon, but they have very little, if not no starts in the Cup Series, and NASCAR's given this big push. So Kyle Busch brought that up, and a couple other of the veteran drivers kind of agreed, maybe didn't take as strong a stance, but I get it. You know, you want to market your stars, so why not the guys that are performing on the racetrack instead of a group of rookies that haven't run a lot of laps in the sport? But it's maybe built this nice little narrative going into this season of the young guys versus, and for the lack of a better term, again, because they're not that old guys in the sport, and kind of maybe putting them at odds, or at least trying to make it look like that there's this kind of generation battle right now going on in the sport between the young guys and the older guys. And or Daniel Suarez, another name of that group of young drivers that I didn't mention before, that drives for Joe Gibbs Racing. He took over for Carl Edwards, of course. So that group of young guys versus the old guys. I mean, but when you do look at it, there is still plenty of star power. The names, if you're not a diehard of the sport and follow it weekly, you know, then you might not know some of the big names of sport. You might still recognize Jimmy Johnson's name. Maybe you know a Kyle Busch or a Brad Keselowski. But there's still plenty of veteran star talent in guys like Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch and Keselowski and Logano. I mean, there's still a good mix. Casey Kane also, even though he'll be he out of his Hendrick Motorsports ride driving for Levine Family Racing this year, the number 95 car, there's still a plenty of veteran talent in this sport. But do they still have the name recognition of some of the drivers that have left in the last couple of years? Again, 803-0551. 888-550 as we're here on the season debut of WGR's Fast Track here on WGR Sports Radio 550. So I like this narrative of young versus old, or veteran versus rookie, you know, to see how this plays out. And we got a little bit of that maybe with the Denny Hamlin, Chase Elliott thing late last season. And of course, you know, I think a lot of people say this, that the one of the best things this sport could use is good rivalries and just two drivers that really don't like each other, and they get whether it's post-race comments or just contact on the racetrack, that drama is good for the sport, and we don't get enough of that. I think I love the fact that Kyle Busch and Brad Keselowski really don't seem to like each other, and make no bones about it when they talk about it in the media or on Twitter, or just give each other a push on the racetrack. I love that. I'm glad that Denny and Chase maybe have this rivalry going on. And we need more of that in this sport. And, you know, Kevin Harvick's had disagreements with guys like Brad Keselowski, too. So more of this more of these driver rivalries, whether it's a one-on-one rivalry or it's a group of the young guys versus the old guys. I'm looking forward to seeing how that plays out here this season. Of course, today at Daytona, you've got Daytona Pole Qualifying. That'll be just after 12 noon this afternoon. That'll be on Fox this afternoon. And then coming up later today, we've got race to talk about. We've got the Advanced Auto Parts Clash, the yearly preseason exhibition, the old Busch Clash, Bud Shootout. Now it's the Advanced Auto Parts Clash, and back on Sunday afternoon. That is coming up just after 3 o'clock this afternoon, and that is the various ways for drivers to qualify, winning a pole last year, winning a race, whatever it is. It doesn't seem to matter what the qualification is, because it seems like they find a way to get everybody in. But there'll be 17 drivers taking the green. Guys like Dale Jr. were eligible, but obviously he's not racing in it this year. But Austin Dillon is going to be on the pole for that race today. That was done by a random draw. So it will be Austin Dillon on the pole for today's clash. That'll just be fun to watch cars racing again, whet the appetite for next Sunday's Daytona 500. The pole qualifying, one of the things I'll be looking for is if we get the old wink and a nod and give the hot rookie, the big storyline, the pole position for the Daytona 500. While it's never been proven, there always seems to be this little bit of conspiracy theory about Daytona 500 qualifying, that sometimes they need that good storyline going into the race, so maybe they get the better restrictor plate in qualifying. And this is going on for years. It just always seems like coincidence that the hot rookie or the driver that's got the good storyline gets the pole position for the Daytona 500. You know, it goes way back to 94 and Loy Allen Jr. in his first Daytona 500 winning the pole. Mike Skinner in 97 winning the pole for his first Daytona 500. Danica Patrick, Chase Elliott, you know, Jeff Gordon in his final Daytona 500 start won the pole that year. So Austin Dillon, his first time in the three car in the Cup Series, won the pole for the Daytona 500. Maybe it's coincidence or it's conspiracy. Who knows? I don't usually go for these NASCAR black helicopter theories that a lot of fans have, but this one I always put a little bit of stock in. So I will say it now, and he was fastest in the final practice session yesterday too, that William Byron is going to win the pole for the Daytona 500. I almost want to say mark it down. I think that's almost going to happen. And just to continue that tradition of the big rookie driver, one of the big storylines coming to the season, winning the pole for the Daytona 500. William Byron will win the pole. The other possibility could be Chase Elliott winning the pole for the third straight year, as he did win it last year too, backing up his rookie performance 2 years ago. That'll be interesting to see Elliott get his third straight pole, but he is kind of leading this group of young drivers. I think Chase is going to pick up a lot of Dale Jr. fans because of the name recognition and everything. And I think that whole Denny Hamlin thing last year gained him a whole lot of fans. So I think Elliott is kind of the leading face of this group of young talent, him and Kyle Larson, of course. But of course, the biggest thing for Chase Elliott right now is getting that first win. He's got 7-8, you know, second place finishes in his Cup Series career, but doesn't have a win yet in the Cup Series. And once he does that, I think the wins will come a lot quicker for him. But how soon is Chase going to go here this season without winning a race in the Cup Series? Hopefully he gets that out of the way early and gets on the board early with the win. But that is the one kind of hill right now for Chase Elliott to get over in his career, is just getting that first Cup Series win. The kid has shown the talent. He's got the lineage, of course, but you know, he's been winning late model races since he was a teenager, and he's had success in the Xfinity Series, and now he'll just need to get that first Cup win. And I think it'll be a really good season for him, and maybe he'll get his third straight Daytona 500 pole of his career here later today in pole qualifying. And then of course the Clash this afternoon, and then Thursday we've got the duels, and then the trucks on Friday, the Xfinity Series on Saturday, and the Daytona 500 1 week from today. Worth pointing out, next Sunday, as you plan your Daytona 500 Sunday, your Daytona Day, if you're familiar with the advertising campaign, we're actually going to be on an hour earlier next Sunday. We're going to be on from 10 to 11 next Sunday, as Sal Capaccio has taken our time slot. He's going to be live from Batavia Downs next Sunday from 11 to 1:30, I believe. So we're on at 10, actually. So adjust your plans accordingly as you get ready for the Daytona 500 next Sunday here on WGR. And we'll have the race on right after Sal is done at 1:30. We'll have live flag-to-flag coverage of the Great American Race, the Daytona 500. And, of course, courtesy of the Motor Racing Network. When we come back, we'll take more of your phone calls, 803-0550, 1-888-550-2550. And Mark Kelso is going to join us, the former Buffalo Bill, current Bills radio network analyst, and the director of operations from JTG Doherty Racing. That's coming up next here on Fast Track on WGR.
This is Kyle Busch, driver of the number 18 M&M's Toyota. You're listening to WGR Sports Radio 550.
11:32 here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Dave Buchanan and WGR's Fast Track making our 2018 season premiere here on the station. Good to be back for another season talking racing with you each and every Sunday morning here on WGR Sports Radio 550. 803-0551, 888-550-2550. Of course, one of the great traditions, a tradition unlike any other, as Jim Nance would say, that goes along with this program is our yearly Fast Track Fantasy League. And we had to scramble to set up the Fantasy League this year. We had been doing it on foxsports.com for the last couple of years, but they killed off their fantasy racing game. We used to do it on Yahoo, but Yahoo Deep Six their fantasy racing game. So with all these sites not doing fantasy racing, we had to scramble. So my options were do the NASCAR.com game or this website called FantasyRacingCheatSheet.com. They have decided to create their own fantasy racing game similar to the Yahoo game where you pick a roster of drivers. There's different tiers of drivers based on how good they are, and you can only use a driver so many times. So instead of going with NASCAR.com game, I'm going to go with we're going with FantasyRacingCheatSheet.com. If you want to sign up, go to FantasyRacingCheatSheet.com, create an entry, go to join a private league and search for WGR Fast Track, and the password is WGR550 with WGR in lowercase. If you need me to explain that slower, if you want to just read it, you can go to my Twitter page at FastTrack550 or the WGR Fast Track Facebook page, and the sign up link is pinned at the top of both pages, and I'll repeat it again later on in the hour. But FantasyRacingCheatSheet.com is where we're going to do the Fast Track Fantasy Racing League for this season. We've got 16 folks signed up. I know it's a little bit slow with the new website, so hopefully you get signed up before next Sunday's Daytona 500. And yes, Paul Hamilton did beat me last year again in fantasy racing, and he loves to crow about that because, you know, he pretends he doesn't know anything. But I'm sure he's at home with just notebooks of NASCAR information. Let's go to the hotline and bring in a gentleman you hear almost every Sunday. You hear him every Sunday during football season, but even though it's after football season, we're going to hear from him again. He is Buffalo Bills Radio Network analyst, former Buffalo Bills great from the 1990s. Mark Kelso joins us on the line, and he's also the director of racing operations for JTG Doherty Racing. Mark, it's Dave Buchanan. Good morning. Great to talk to you.
Hey, great to talk to you guys. How you doing on a Sunday morning here?
Well, I don't know. You're missing football, I'm sure, with the NFL season in the books, but we've got racing at Daytona today, so I'm really excited here this morning, Mark, and I'm sure it's a big day for the folks at JTG Doherty Racing with a chance to start on the pole for the Daytona 500 later today coming up.
Yeah, it's a great opportunity for A.J. Allmendinger and Chris, and those guys will be driving. I mean, AJ will be driving the 47 Kroger Clickless Chevy Camaro, and Chris is driving the Kleenex Chevrolet Camaro. So they'll qualify at 12:15 today, and hopefully things will go well.
Real quick, for the fans that don't know, of course, JTG Doherty Racing, co-owned by Tad and Jody Geschechter, along with former NBA player and ESPN analyst Brad Doherty. But how did you wind up working there with the JTG Doherty Racing team?
How did I end up there?
Yes.
Yeah, well, I mean, Tad Geschechter and I have a relationship from college. We were roommates in college, and he was a William & Mary baseball player, and of course, I played football there and just have kept a really strong friendship over the years. So I had been down. I had done some things for him over the years, and then after football, he was interested in me coming down and trying to help him with the race team, I just had too much of an affection for Buffalo and wanting to be here and plant some roots here. So we stayed here. But as the kids got older and you have an opportunity to go back and forth a little bit and help any way you can, then we took that opportunity a couple years ago to go back down and see what we could do to help out the situation and try to do whatever's needed to just help the race team and help the whole program to move forward.
What when you go to work for the team, what are some of your daily duties? What do you do for the team on a week-to-week basis?
Well, there's a lot of operational things and leadership models and all kinds of different things that we needed to put in place just so, to use one of Coach McDermott's analogies, it's a process, and racing is really a process. And then putting the right people in place, I think, is very important, too. And when I went down, we didn't really have a competition director. Then you hire a competition director who now can oversee the entire race team, and Ernie Cope does that and does a terrific job doing that. And now somebody can take care of all those racing components, that someone that really understands racing, and you can just kind of make sure that any support that they need from a leadership perspective or an organizational perspective, or making sure you got guys on the same page and working together, that you can provide that support as well.
course, JTD Jordy has a technical alliance with Richard Childress Racing, and I'm sure it was a busy off season. Of course, you guys had to turn all your cars over from the Chevrolet SS into the Chevrolet Camaro for this year. How did that process go this off season, building all those new cars?
Yeah, it was quite a process. There's no question about that. There was a lot of, as they call it in the racing business, thrashing in the back to make sure you got everything ready. And the tolerances are so, I mean, some of the tolerances are 20 thousandths, 1/50th of an inch. And mm-hmm. So it's really, really difficult. I think there was a process that NASCAR went through as well with this new monitoring system to make sure that they're trying to create a level playing field and make sure they're not creating too much work for any of the teams in the same vein and making sure they create a competitive level here so that it's a level playing field and nobody has a real competitive advantage going into the race. Put more in the hands of the race car drivers and what goes on with the adjustments during the race as opposed to the way the car shows up on the track.
Of course, we have the stage formats back this year. Not a lot of changes to the on-track rules, but a lot of changes to the rules, especially on pit road. And Mark, how much were you involved adjusting to these new rules? You have to put together now these crew rosters for every event. You can have only so many men and women on the team assigned to certain roles. Now they're even putting numbers on the crew uniforms, and only 5 men over the wall this year. How much attention was that taken up this offseason, all having to adjust to those rules as well?
Yeah, and I don't really need to get involved in that. I mean, we have a pit crew coach in Gary Smith, and he really takes care of that whole initiative. But it really required a big change and a big adjustment for those pit crews by removing one of those guys from the system, and that was a difficult adjustment. I mean, there's some new pit equipment that's going to be required as well, and that's going to be an adjustment. Just have to see how that opens up here at Daytona and how it continues to unfold as the season begins.
Talking to Mark Kelso, former Buffalo Bill, and now works for JTG Jordy Racing. Mark, last year was JTG's first year as a two-car operation with AJ Allmendinger and Chris Buescher. How did you evaluate the combined performance of the two teams last season in the first year as a two-car operation?
Well, I mean, we had some growing pains, there's no question about that, but I thought the guys handled it really well, And I think AJ, for one, is glad to have somebody that he can race with on game day and be out there, that someone that's a friend as opposed to a foe when he's out there on the racetrack. And I think they developed a really good synergy together. And Chris is a really good young driver and a real calm presence in the car. And I think he brings some of that to AJ. And then AJ's got a real competitive drive that he can bring some of that aspect of his racing component to Chris. So I think they complement each other really well. They get along really well, and Chris built cars before. I mean, mm-hmm. in the truck series, he built the trucks and then drove them on the weekend, so really understands the vehicle as well and can share some of that knowledge with AJ and as they talk through adjustments that they might want to make to improve performance. So I think it's been a really good transition to two teams, and Chris has been just a welcome addition to the team. And again, I think AJ appreciates him, and I think this year you'll see even better things.
For this year, what are some of the goals for each of the 47 and the 37 team? It's been 2014 since AJ's last win at Watkins Glen, and wins are so important with making the playoffs. Is making the playoffs the ultimate goal? Is it top 15, top 20 in points? What are some of the goals you guys have set for this season?
Yeah, I mean, making the playoffs is what you really want to do, mm-hmm. and where you want to be, and you want to be able to race consistently in the top 20, and you want to have an opportunity to win some races. There's so many variances and nuances that occur throughout the course of a race. You can never say, even though you might be a favorite in a particular race, or you might feel like you have a really good opportunity if you sit on the pole, but there's so many things that can happen during the race that they can just change the outcome in a split second. So you want to have some opportunities to finish in the top five a number of times. I think there's a number of races there that both AJ and Chris feel like they're really confident. They enjoy the racetracks, and if the car is good that week, they feel like they would have an opportunity to win. So certainly a couple wins under your belt, and But to be in the playoffs at the end is where you really want to be, because that tells you that you maintain some consistency throughout the course of the season.
Mark, last racing question for you. How often do you get to the track? How many weeks out of the season do you go on the road with the team?
Yeah, probably. I don't have that whole schedule yet, but probably only about 10. So I don't have any real race day responsibilities,
sure,
in that regard. I mean, I have some hospitality when we're taking care of our sponsors that, mm-hmm, are there, and Kroger has increased sponsorship this year with the team Kroger Clicklist cars, and anytime a lot of those people were there, or a lot of our guests from some of our other partners like Kimberly Clark and Bush's Beans, mm-hmm, it's important to be there to take care of them and show them around the racetrack. And there's a lot of football analogies you can draw with racing, and
yeah,
have an opportunity to take some of those clients and some of their partners as well, and show them around the racetrack, through the garage, in the pits, prior to the race, and during the race as well, up on the pit box, because it's a unique perspective. Not my favorite place to watch races, quite frankly. You can't see a whole lot. But if you have some monitors there, that you're able to see some things. But it is an exciting thing to be able to participate in, because the pit crew is right there, and that's an exciting 12 seconds or 11 seconds,
yeah,
that takes place during the race that becomes a critical component of a good performance on race day.
It's interesting, the number of NFL players that have gotten involved in racing, whether during or after their careers. You know, Joe Gibbs, Jim Kelly co-owned a team, Dan Marino, Walter Payton was big into racing before he passed away, Terry Bradshaw, Roger Staubach. It's funny the amount of NFL guys that like to get involved in motorsports after their careers.
Well, it's exciting, and it really is exhilarating. I mean, you just get down in the pits one time, and you realize how exciting it is, and you realize all the small nuances that occur that create the opportunity for a good performance, or unfortunately would depreciate your opportunity to win a race or finish in a top spot. I mean, there are so many little critical pieces, much like an NFL game, and I would talk to the guys all the time about how the NFL is all about a game of inches, and mm-hmm, and NASCAR, it's a game of quarters of an inch or 16ths of an inch, because it just, if the center of gravity is too high, or if your roll center is not in the right spot, I mean, there's all kinds of just really small details that if you miss the mark on those details, you're not going to be able to perform like you'd like to on race day.
Mark, last thing before we let you go, a football question. What did you think of the Super Bowl last week and the win by the Philadelphia Eagles? Regardless of the outcome, that was one heck of an entertaining football game last Sunday.
Yeah, without question. Extremely entertaining, and guys played really hard, and there were a lot of great plays. And I mean, my criteria for a game that, honestly, I don't have a vested interest in,
mm-hmm,
it. So if I don't have a vested interest in it, I want to see it come down to the very end, and I want to see the game won on a really good play. And that's exactly what happened. I mean, nobody made a mistake. It was Graham, I think, that came in and dislodged the football from Brady that created the turnover, mm-hmm, that enabled the Eagles to win. So just a really entertaining game. Thought guys played really well on both sides of the football. And some guys made some great plays. I mean,
yeah,
once in a while a guy gets beat, but you're playing against great opponents on the other side as well. So you're not going to win every battle, but it was just great to see it go up and down the field and come down to virtually the last series.
Well, Mark, enjoy the football off season, but now get to work with the folks from JTG Doherty Racing. Thank you so much for the time this morning, and good luck to the 47 and 37 teams this year on the Cup Series.
Yeah, appreciate that. And stay tuned at noon. I think there's going to be a big announcement about a sweepstakes that we're going to be running during the race as well. So have people look at some of the digital and social channels to check that out, because they'll want to participate in that.
Very good. That'll be on Twitter at JTG Racing. Mark, thanks so much for the time. We'll talk to you again soon.
Great, guys. Have a good day.
All right. Mark Kelso from JTG Doherty Racing and the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. And good to catch up with him and just learn a little bit more about what he does with the folks from JTG Doherty. When we get back, we'll wrap up this premiere edition of Fast Track for 2018. Squeeze in one more phone call, 803-0551, 888-552-550. We wrap up Fast Track here on WGR. Your defending Cup Series champion, Martin Truex Jr., solo operation once again for Furniture Row Racing as they shut down, at least for this year, the 77 team that Eric Jones drove last year as he moves back to Joe Gibbs Racing, taking over the 20 car this year. Final segment here of WGR's Fast Track. I'm Dave Buchanan. NHRA kicks off their season this weekend. They're in Pomona, of course, for the traditional Winter Nationals to kick off the 2018 season for the Mellow Yellow Drag Racing Series. And record-setting qualifying effort for Clay Milliken in Top Fuel, a new ET record, 3.628 seconds on the 1,000-foot drag strip. He is your number one qualifier in Top Fuel. Matt Hagen is the funny car top qualifier, and Vincent Nobile, number one qualifier in Pro Stock for the Winter Nationals. Eliminations coming up today. That should be on Fox or Fox Sports 1 this afternoon. And by the way, excited to see that. Of course, I love talking about the 4-wide Nationals in Charlotte. NHRA has actually added another 4-wide track. Las Vegas has gone to the 4-wide for their drag strip, so they'll have a 4-wide race later this year. Of course, Brittany Force, the reigning Top Fuel champion. Her dad, of course, John Force, and over in Funny Car, Robert Height, the defending Funny Car champion, will be defending their titles in 2018. Of course, down in Speed Weeks, not just the action over at Daytona, lots of short track racing, both on pavement and dirt. On dirt, of course, over at Volusia, they've already gotten fired up. The World of Outlaws got their season started last night. Donnie Schatz got the win. The guys from up here, the Super Dirt Car Series, Big Block Modifieds, they'll be headed down. They'll be in action later this week. That's all on Dirt Vision. The pavement guys, some local drivers, Patrick Emmerling, Chuck Hosfeld, have gone down to run Modifieds. At the World Series of Short Track Racing at New Smyrna. Also, Dave Russell and Dave Regan took their late models down there. There was a modified race yesterday down in Bronson, Florida. Matt Hirschman picked up the win in a 50-lap event, kind of a tune-up for the racing over at New Smyrna. Ryan Preece had a real scary crash when the throttle stuck, and he literally put it over the fence in turn one, like out of the park, when his throttle stuck and he went up and over the wall. Scary video footage if you've seen it on Twitter. Ryan, of course, going to be back in an Xfinity car for Joe Gibbs Racing later this year. The indoor racing season wrapping up last night in Albany with the TQ Midgets, their series of indoor races, and Andy Jankowiak picking up the win, the Tonawanda driver winning the TQ feature last night at Albany. Good to see him win one. Another great showing for the Western New York contingent. Scott Kruder, the Nye brothers, Tim and Sean and Andy, Jonathan Reed, that follow these TQ midget races. But Andy J got the win. Scott Kruder won a race at Allentown earlier this winter. So, as always, love to see the performance of the Western New York TQ midget drivers. But Justin Bonsignor outdueled another Western New York driver, Eric Rudolph, for the Indoor Series Championship this winter, the NASCAR modified driver that does some TQ midget racing during the offseason. For local racing news from the offseason, it's been quiet, minus one major storyline, and that is the future of the Holland Speedway, which, of course, has been put up for sale by the Bennett family, although they're just looking to sell it to someone that will continue to operate the facility as a racetrack. There are rumors of a sale close, but no concrete news. But regardless, Holland will open this season, whether it's under the leadership of the Bennett family or a new owner remains to be seen. But all the other tracks, Little Valley Speedway will not be open this year. Down on the Cattaraugus County Fairgrounds that runs a partial season, they will not operate in 2018, unfortunately, due to their dealings with the ownership of the leadership of the track and the fair down there, and noise complaints from the neighborhood, and just some bad luck with weather the last few seasons, which really hurt the momentum of their racing shows. So a Little Valley will not be in operation, fortunately, for 2018. But all the other tracks will be open in the area for Western New York and Southern Ontario, and we'll be following all that. And some really exciting shows coming up this year, including a big show July 14th at the Jukasa Motor Speedway over in Canada near Hamilton, the former Cayuga Speedway. The Race of Champions Modified Series and ISMA Super Modifieds will have a dual show there in July. They've also got a big $25,000 to win late model race coming up Labor Day weekend. That should be glad to see that facility open once again and going to put on some big shows. Anything helps this area when a new track opens or gets some new lifeblood. That obviously is a big deal. So we of course, talked to Alex Nagy, their track general manager last season, and I'm sure we'll have more to talk about Jukasa Motor Speedway and all the other tracks in the area, your Lancasters and Ransomvilles and Wyoming Counties and Merrittvilles and Humberstones. We'll be talking about the entire local racing scene throughout the year here on Fast Track. Thank you so much for tuning in. Again, we'll be on at 10 a.m. next week, an hour earlier, to make room for Sal, who's going to be live from Batavia Downs next Sunday. So start your Daytona day a little bit earlier next Sunday, 10 a.m. We'll be back here on WGR Sports Radio 550. Be sure to sign up for the Fantasy League. Again, I've pinned the tweet and pinned the post on the top of our Facebook page for the sign-up information, and hopefully you'll play along with us here in 2018. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you next Sunday here on WGR.
You've built a great podcast. The content's solid. The audience is growing. But the money, still not where it should be. That's where the Odyssey Creator Lab comes in. We host your podcast for free, so you can keep doing your thing while our experienced sales team does their thing, finding advertisers and bringing in revenue. No fees, no stress, just real monetization. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.